Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Yedzayin on Bezer, 6 lines from the bottom, the words of Tashma. We're discussing the Breisa, which is as a Kasha and Rabbi Yochanan, whether or not a person can make a Hofech his Gzardin. Can he overturn his Gzardin? So the Gemara brings a proof from the Breisa. The Breisa says, Shala Borya Gioras is Rabbi Gamliel, Blera, who was a Gioras, she asked Rabbi Gamliel, Ksiv. You don't show any favor to Klal Yisrael. You don't show any favor to them towards anyone in Klal Yisrael. Ksiv, Hashem Panav Elecha. Which is in Birkas Kohanim. You say that Hashem is going to show favor for us. How are you allowed to say that? It's a stira, minei bay. So Gemara says, Nitba la Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen decided to answer this question. Why was Rabbi Yossi HaKohen? Why was he the one who felt the question was addressed to Rabbi Gamliel? Why did Rabbi Yossi HaKohen answer it? Ben Yoyada explains very nicely that he was a Kohen. So he felt, I say this bracha every day, and I have a pshat. Why, what am I saying? Amar la, so therefore he said to her, I'm going to give you a parable. What is this similar to? Adam Shinoshim Chavero Mana. Someone who lent a large sum of money, a mana, to his fellow. So, and he owed him the money. So he set a time to pay them in the presence of the king. He swore by the life of the king that he's going to pay at that time. So the person came to collect the monies, and the borrower didn't give the money. So the first, the person, the borrower came to appease the king. He said, fine, I forgive you. However, but go appease your friend who you didn't pay the money to yet. Meaning the fact that you were Nishba Shem Melech, you embarrassed me by making all these shvuas in my name, that you're going to come and you're going to, and you didn't end up coming, that's embarrassment to me. So I'll be mocha that. But you still owe the money, so go pay the money. Hachanami, so the same thing could be said here as well with regards to the following. Kan be'avero shebein adam lemakom. Here with regards to showing favor, those are with regards to averos, a person's sins between him and Hashem. Hashem has the rightful privilege to show favor and forgive him. However, kan be'avero shebein adam lechavero, we see that when it comes to avero, ben adam lechavero, then the pasuk is telling us that Hashem is lo yisa panim, Hashem is not going to show favor for you unless you're mefayas as chavero, unless you go and you ask forgiveness from your friends. Unless you do that, you're not going to be getting mechila. And we see over here an important thing that we shouldn't already point this out, that every avera of Ben Adam Lechavero is worse than Ben Adam Lemakom. We see here because it's double. It's Ben Adam Lechavero and Ben Adam Lemakom. You're sinning because Hashem told you not to sin, and now you're hurting the other person. The person's going to be upset at you. You've committed something against that person. That is something that's very negative, and that Be'etzim shows that Ben Adam Lechavero is actually much worse than a Ben Adam Lemakom. We shouldn't already point this out, that this chiluk, that he received a raya from the Gemara that Ben Adam Lechavero is stronger than Ben Adam Lemakom. The mark is Achavar Bekiva Velimer. Kiva came and he answered the following, turning on to the next. Now, Khan Kodam Zardin, that when Hashem is going to show favor, Yisa upon him, that's before the decree is issued. At that point, you can circumvent the decree by having the decree be removed. Khan Achar Gzardin, however, here is after the Gzardin, Hashem is never going to overturn the Gzera. So this again is a Zilchora, as against Rabbi Yochanan, who told us that when you do tshuva, you can even overturn a full-fledged Gzardin, a decree that is against you. So the Gemara says, the Bryce is also discussing here a case of individual. Rabbi Kiva is telling us an individual is not able to overturn any gzar din, any decree that's against them. However, community is not limited in this way. Rather, they would be able to do tshuva. So Gemara says, gzar din de yachid tanahi. Now, actually, Gemara is actually going back on this. Gemara now before, it was assuming that nobody said like this. Now we're looking back at it, and we're saying that Inecham Rabbi Yochanan, who said that gadol tshuva, because it's mevatal, a person's gzar din, we are allowed to even explain over here, that means even an individual. That's what we see from the Tanaim over here. That's what the Yachronim point this out. And this Lechor is now going back and assuming Rabbi Yochanan could fit in with these Tanaim, and assume a gzar din really is, even for a yachid, could be overturned. As we learn in the Braisa, the Tanaim Braisa tells us, Hayar Rabbi Meir, Omer, Rabbi Meir used to say the following, that Shnaim Shalu Lamita V'cholan Shava, they are the same exact sickness. V'chein Shnaim Shalu Gardim V'dinan Shava, Gardim is a case of a capital punishment. It's like literally where they chop off someone's head, send them, sentence them to death. So that could be, and they're in the same exact situation. So one of them was able to survive the bed, one of them would leave the bed, one of them was not. So one of them was, head wasn't chopped off, he was saved from the capital punishment, the other one was not. Why was it one able to leave the bed and have a refuah shleima? Another one was not. This one was saved. This one's not saved. This one, they both davened. This one was answered. This one davened and was answered. This one was davened and not answered. Why was one answered and one not? So says Rabbi Meir the following. He concentrated properly. He davened with all his kishkas. He davened with everything into it. Then he was answered. Then lo yispalot tefillah shleima lo nana. But the one who did not say a complete davening, he was not answered. Apparently, when a person davens and he's in a place or a situation where mamish is able to turn things over, that is the person is able to completely change his fate. Rabbi Lazar says differently. Kan kodem gzardin, kan achar gzardin. So here is one is before the decree, one is after the decree. After the decree, it's too late. The other one was still before the decree, didn't have it yet. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Rabbi Yitzchak, aladam bein kodem gzardin l'achar gzardin. We see explicitly in Rabbi Yitzchak that even after gzardin, that a person could cry and overturn the gzera. So we have Rabbi Lazar l'chora. Rabbi Lazar is telling us that the tefillah is not going to be able to overcome a decree. Rabbi Yitzchak, a person can do it through tzaakas and crying and tefillas. So the Ritva points out that the Gemara l'chora, we follow Rabbi Yitzchak. So since we're following Rabbi Yitzchak, a person is always encouraged to daven from hardships, even if he thinks exardin is already issued against him. To continue, we always assume that always we're supposed to daven. And that's the question then. If we assume that you can always be mevatel the exardin, so what's so special about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim? Sort of Katz Slita in a Nativ right before Ne'ilah, so he always speaks. So he spoke about this idiot for a few minutes, but it was so powerful. He was just gave a mashal. He says that a person's able to buy an apartment. So the apartment, right, is a beautiful apartment. It's worth like $3 million. So right now he has the opportunity to buy it for $100,000. What an opportunity! Everyone's going to run, and everyone's going to take that opportunity to buy it for $100,000. In a week from now, the price is going up to in a day from now, and in 5 minutes from now, it's going to go up to $3 million, the regular price that you're supposed to pay for the apartment. Now, granted, it's to go buy an apartment for $3 million is not, you know, people could do it, but it's very, very difficult. The person has to be very wealthy, extremely rich, to be able to afford that apartment. So he says that was the nimshal, that was the mashal for what the Rosh Hashanah Kippur is. That Zman of Aseres Mitshuva is that it's given to us at a silver platter, $100,000, the $3 million apartment, meaning that we have the opportunity right now to do tshuva, to get our whole gzardin for the whole year at a much lower price, meaning it's much easier for us to connect to Hashem and do tshuva and to give us the Gzar Din. Granted, after, during the year, as we hold right here, the person can overturn his individual decree. You could do that, but it's much harder. You have to take the full price. You're not even taking a mortgage, right? You have to do everything to be able to do tshuva. That's much harder during the year. So every time tshuva is obviously accepted, but it's much harder now to be able to overturn our Gzar Din as opposed to the Aseres Yamim, the Aseres Yamei Tshuva. Now the Gemara continues. Wait a second. The Gemara Din, the Tzibur Mimikra, is it really possible a person can even to tear up a decree against the community? The pasuk in Riyahu seems to say otherwise. The pasuk says, "When your heart has evil, you should be saved," implying that when you're going to do tshuva, only is going to be able to mevatel the gzera, to mevatel the decree. However, the pasuk also said, if you wish to wash it with the type of neser and the type of soaps, so you're washing with soap, your stains of your averus are still going to be with me. So l'chora, that means that nothing is going to be able to remove these stains, even tshuva. So the Gemara says, my love, kadam chazrin, kam lachzrin. L'chora, the first pasuk was saying able to remove everything, the evil decree. That's referring to before the decree is established. However, achar gzera, That's referring to not being overturned. That's when the lichlich, the averus, no matter what soap you're using, is not going to overturn it. So we see over here that even for the rabbim, we're talking about Yushalayim and the Beis Yaakov, that's clearly talking about Yushalayim, which is a decree of the community. And once it's already established, it's too late. So the Gemara answers no, lo. Idiv idi lachar gzardin. Both of them are talking about after the decree had already been issued. The lo kasha, there's no kasha between these stiras. There's not a stira between the two psukim. Kan v'gzardin sheish imo shvua. That if Hashem makes a shvua and decrees it by an oath, then it cannot be overturned. Kan v'gzardin sheish imo shvua. However, when you can be saved, the Yirmiyahu's first pasuk is talking about if it's not accompanied by an oath. If you don't have an oath, then it's going to be okay. Kedrav Shmuel bar Ami, Damar Shmuel bar Ami, Yemerle, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmina, Yemerle, Yonos, and Minayin lag Zardin, Sheish Yemo Shvua, Sheinu Nikra. How do we know that a Shvua that is accompanied by an oath cannot be torn up? So how do I know that? Sorry, other way around. A Shvua, you have a Shvua with a decree together. So therefore it's going to be in 100% set in stone. You're not able to change it. The pasuk says, "Shnemar v'lechinish bat the beiseli imiskapra avon beiseli bezevach l'mincha." The pasuk says, "I swore concerning the house of Eli that they were never going to have be able to be mefayis me with sacrificing mincha offerings." This was the punishment for the sins of Eli, a kohen gadol, who in the story of this was the beginning of the Shmuel's prophecy. Was this in Yanim that Chofi and Pinchas were doing terrible things? Exactly what they're doing in Pashup Shat and the Gemara is a little bit different, but either way, they were doing very bad things. Whatever. Things Chatem Raim Lefnei Hashem, and in response to their sins, Hashem promised that Eli and all his descendants, male descendants, were going to die very young. And that was later made by a Shvuah when Shmuel came to tell the Beis Eli that this was going to be the case. This is never going to be rescinded. So something like that is never going to be rescinded. The Gemara says, "Amar Rava, Bezevach Mincha Nimiskaper." However, the pasuk is meduyek that only through bringing korbanos, meaning even korbanos are so dear to me, Hashem is saying, "I'm not going to forgive them for doing the averos." So the Gemara says, "Aval Miskaper, but Torah." However, they will be able to atone through studying Torah. Abaye Amar Bezevach Mincha Nimiskaper. miskaper b'teira v'gimlus chasadim. No, you need both. Not just the ikar's Torah. We know that al shlosh devar ma'olam al Torah avoda v'gimlus chasadim. So they've ruined avoda. So what do you have left? So Torah is the ikar according to Abaye. As opposed to Rav, who says you need Torah. It's interesting now that Mark Kadin is a big shaila on the gear, says Rav of Abaye de Vesili Kasu. Some assume there was Rav of Vesili, some of the gears of Rava. Was it really true that Rava was a coin? Rashi doesn't like that. Rashi assumes it was Rav. But Rabbi here was the uncle of Abaye, so maybe Mustaber that he was a coin as well. They both came from Vesili. Rav de Asik, and he ended up raising Abaye. Abaye was a Yosem. His parents died when he was very much like a newborn. Rav de Asik with Torah, Chayabram Shunav. So know that Rav was learning Torah. He was able to live for 40 years. Abaye de Asik with Torah, and Luz Chasanim was very involved with Chesed as well. Hayashit and Shani lived for an extra 20 years. Instead of Rav Yaakov Kanwitsky, he said the Marach Yam, and they used to ask him why was he Zochet so many years. He said he was always there for the Tzibur. He was mamash always there for anyone who wanted an appointment, anyone to discuss anything with him. He was always there for them. And he felt like that's what Hashem gave him Arichos Yamim, to be able to continue learning, capable of giving Arichos Yamim for that Zchus. That's what he used to say. Tanu Rabban, the Gemara continues now in the Braisa. Mishpacha Achas Hayisa B'Shalayim. There was one family, B'Shalayim, Shayu Maseh, Masin, B'Shmonas, B'Shalayim. Everyone used to die 18 years old. Bo, V'Dil, that's Rabbi Nachman Zakkai. They told Rabbi Nachman Zakkai, everyone's dying so young. This is terrible. Amar Lam Shema Mishpachas Eli. At them they said, maybe you're the house of Eli. T'chseh Ebe, V'chamer is basically Yemuzo Nashim, that everyone's going to die young. L'chuv Yitzkim Atara V'chayu, so go learn Torah. And Hashem will save you. In fact, they did that. They studied Torah and they lived. They called him the name of Rabbi Yochanan. After Rabbi Yochanan gave them this practical advice, they were so excited about his Eitzah. The Gemara continues on Rishmav, Bar Onya B'Shmei D'Rav, Minan L'Gzardin Shal Sibar Sheinu Nichtam. How do I know that a decree against the community is never going to be fully sealed? The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Einu Nichtam. V'Aksev Nichtam Avanech Avanech. The Pasuk says, your affairs are going to be stained before me and they're going to be completely sealed. We can't have a Gzardin, a complete permanence of a Gzardin, a sealing of a community's entire fate. So the Gemara says, Ela afagav shenechtam nikra, that even though in an chalami it can be sealed, even that can be torn up. So it says the pasuk. We read the whole pasuk. The pasuk says ki mi. The pasuk in Devarim, ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krevim alav kashem lokim mechol korinu alav. Who is like Klal Yisrael that Hashem took so close to them as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us whenever we call out to Him. The implication of this pasuk is that whenever Jewish people are going to daven to Hashem, He's going to be answering them and He's going to be vatel gzeiros. So Gemara says, but wait a second, v'aksev dirshu Hashem b'tzav. The pasuk says we look for Hashem when He can be found and call Him, right? Karol be a sukkah. Karol, we're very familiar with these lashonos because that's when we lay this haftarah from Yeshayahu on a fast day. So this again is indicating that times Hashem is going to be found and other times He's not. So which is it? So are you able to overturn it or you're not able to overturn it? So when it says Hasan biyachid, when it says Dirshu Hashem b'matzav, that's referring to an individual. Individual can succeed in being mevatel gzeira only during certain times. However, but tzibur is able to always repent and overturn a decree, no matter what time of year it is. Gemara says biyachid ematzav. When is Hashem going to? When is behimatzav? When is the time where Hashem is more found and able to overturn anything that's going on in your fate for the year? Amar Ravua, Allah sorry, I'm mentioning Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, and the famous Dir Shoshan Bimatzav. And every Linus always think about this, because especially when we lay on some Gedalia, because then your mamish laying the pasuk that's in Yom Diyomar, Dir Shoshan Bimatzav. You're saying right now, Hashem, this is the time where you're deciding our fate for the entire year, and He's right there for us to be able to do tshuva. The Gemara continues, Va'yu Kasar Sayamim Va'igof Hashem Es Naval. It says that it happened in the 10 days Hashem struck Naval. Naval. The story we're talking about, Navel, he was a very wealthy man who lived during the time of Shaul and David HaMelech. David had needed a favor from Navel. He asked that he give him some food, and Navel refused. He says, who is David ben Yishai that I'm going to listen to him? And he even refers to David as a slave. Not nice things. So 10 days later, Navel was killed. So the Gemara says, what were these 10 days? Hashem Yimayev said, why was he Zocha to last in the 10 days? Hashem should have killed him on the spot for his immediate chutzpah that he had towards David HaMelech. Chamar Yudah Marav. Navel still, even though he was not a nice person, he still gave the servants of David who came to him, he gave them the request, he gave them a little bit of food when they were there. So that 10 things spared him for 10 more days. Rav Nachman, Amar, Rabba, Baravua, Ela, no, these were the 10 days. His fate wasn't sealed yet because it happened to be that Hashem had to decide between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, his fate, which would be that year when that was between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Now the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah called by Olam over the final kibbeinay maron or shishanav yagob before Kadosh Baruch Hu, like bnei maron. Who are these bnei maron? My kibbeinay maron. Who are these bnei maron? The Gemara says halchatar kibbeinay kibbeinay armona. These are translated as the people like lambs. Lambs, when a lamb is counted for taking off maestros, we do one at a time, and you don't have two passed at once. We see just like our Gzardin, Hashem is every single individual is going to be judged. Now the Gemara continues, Rosh Lakish Amar, Kemalas Beis Maron, like the pass of the Maron area. Some have the Meron area, the pass, the elevated pass of Meron, that the slopes of the mountain are very small, and only a few people go at a time. I find that unfortunately, very, very sadly ironic that the Tats of Meron, if the, those who learn like that, the Meron mountains are very small and tight. Unfortunately, we learned Limamish, the tragedy, how sad that could be, and what happened from the paths of Meron. But either way, the Gemara goes back, Rav Yudam Ar Shmal, Kechayla Shel Beis David, like the soldiers of the house of David. The Gemara continues, Amar Baruch Hanam Rav Yechanan, Kula Niskar Miskarachas, they're all going to be examined at one glance. How does that work together? There's different interpretations. What is it? If they're passing one by one, how are they going to be at the same time also be examined at once? So there's a concept of a person as a community, and how he is an individual. How is he as a community? And that can be effective as Gzardim. How is he in terms of how is his relationship with the Kal Yisrael? Is he helping his shul? Is he helping his friends? That type of thing. That's going to be the things at a glance, and they look at Hashem looks at the midos of the community, and also looks at you obviously as an individual that your personal gzardin is going to be judged as well during Rosh Hashanah. We also learn our Mishnah, which says who creates the hearts together, who understands their needs. My kamar, what does this pasuk tell me? United in their hearts, and he made the person think alike. It's not true. People think very differently. Nobody thinks the same. He sees their hearts together, and he's examining their maisim. Since the Mishnah is telling us this pasuk, it shows that Rabbi Yochanan is correct. In Lechora, everyone judged at one glance is going to be also intended from this pasuk. That's what Rashi points out. That's a raya for Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're learning we're starting the sugyas from that. Yirchas Ril Tachavav, I think around that, is the beginning of the subjects of Kiddush HaChodesh. So very basically, we'll give a brief overview of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. We'll probably not finish the daf all the way down, but tomorrow's daf is a little bit shorter. Obviously, we'll make up whatever we don't get through in today's daf. So just to give a quick daf, I think it's very important, because the idea with the concept of Kiddush HaChodesh. So what is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh? We know that the Jewish calendar is based on the orbit of the moon around the earth. The lunar cycle is around 29 and a half days, and there's 12 months in a lunar cycle corresponding for the solar cycle, which also has 12 months. The difference between the lunar and the solar cycle is that the solar cycle is 365 days, a little bit, and the lunar cycle is 354. So those days are going to be off. So that's how the leap year comes in. We're not focusing on leap year so much. We're talking about Rosh Chodesh, but that is how the years come. The solar and the lunar years are off by 11 days, and that's why we add roughly every 3 years we add a leap year, because we want to make sure that our lunar year is somewhat based off of the solar year as well, because we want Pesach to fall out in Nisan and Sukkot to fall in Chag HaAsif in the time of the what's called fall, the actual solar fall. So we have to make sure those two things happen. So that is why we have the leap year. So that is the concept of the leap year. But now, that basically what happens there is if it's 29 and a half days, so every calendar, every month can either be 29 or 30 days. If Beis Din proclaims Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day, what happens is the 30th day is the first day of the next month, and we'll call the previous month Chaser. It'll be 29 days long. However, if the 30th day becomes the 31st day becomes Rosh Chodesh, then a previous month is going to be Malay, and it's going to have 30 days. And the Rishami tells us a month is never able to be more than 31, to be more than 30 days, and never able to be 31. And that is all based on Kiddush HaChodesh. That's also going to be totally on the Yomim Tovim. Whenever you establish Rosh Chodesh, it's going to be establishing when the Yomim Tovim are going to follow. So this is the time that used to do it during the Beis Hamikdash. That's how they used to do it. When the new, basically the beginning of the lunar cycle, the moon is totally invisible. A person can't see it. A few hours into the cycle, that's when you can start seeing the smallest sliver of the very thin crescent of the moon. And that is when a person will run to the Beis Hamikdash, will come to the Beis Din, and he'll be testifying that he had seen the moon, and they interrogate him. They see that if he's correct, and they see that he's a kosher witness, and they accept his ideas. We're going to get into the type of Edus that is going to be. The Kiddush HaChodesh, this was the structure of Kiddush HaChodesh until the time after the Beis HaMikdash, when you have Hillel, who was a grandson of Hillel HaZaken, who was part of the Beis Din. He saw that the very bad things happened in Klal Yisrael at the time, and therefore he did away with the Kiddush HaPi HaRi'iyah, and they ended up he just used it based on astronomical numbers, and he devised a system that is the same system we use from today until Yom HaMashiach. That's what we hold, that this is going to be the system that we're going to use until Yom HaMashiach, to do Kiddush HaChodesh again, L'chora, through Pi HaRi'iyah. So going back to over here, so we see that what happened was is that Beis Din would, after they would do Kiddush HaChodesh, they used to send people very far away to show when Rosh Chodesh was, because how do we know when the end of the Yomim Tovim were? Again, they didn't even now with the social media, it would be difficult, but Kol Shekhem didn't have anything. How are they going to figure out when Rosh Chodesh is? They have to establish it only when the Edim came, so they didn't know exactly when the Edim going to come. So therefore, says the mission now, Al Shisha on 6 specific months, they would send messengers to inform the Jewish community when Rosh Chodesh was, because they wanted to make sure that they knew specifically about the Chagim that were in these months. So they would. So when were these months? Al Nisan and Pesach. The first is Nisan because of Pesach. You had to know that for that the 15th days later is going to be Pesach, or the 14th is going to be Erev Pesach when they makar of the korban. The 15th day would then be Pesach to the far communities. They would send it, and those agav who they didn't reach is those who would not sure out of suffix, they would keep 2 days, not knowing which day was Rosh Chodesh. They would keep 2 days. That's where the concept of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios comes from. And it's very interesting. The Rambam doesn't seem to make it tally on Golios or not. It's tally according to the Rambam. It's meduyak that the Rambam seems to hold that wherever the shluchim went is where they would keep 1 day. Where the shluchim didn't go, then they would keep 2. That minhag would stay. So even if there was a place in Eretz Yisrael which is far flung, and they know that they didn't know when it was, and the shluchim didn't ever sent there, so that type of community would have to keep 2 days. So I believe that there's a chumrah out there. I think at least in the Chazir, I think Rav Chaim Kineski Yom is machmir at least on certain malachas. Obviously, put on tefillin, but on malacha, I think he won't do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni, because who says that Bnei Brak was a city back then that they would go to? We say Bnei Brak in the Haggadah, but who says the same Bnei Brak that they were in right now? Maybe nobody came to the player area that was called Bnei Brak. It was never settled, and nobody ever went there. The Shulchan never went there. Maybe you're Chayev in Tudor Yanta. That is, again, a Chumra, but Pashas is more the Eretz Yisrael. But Be'etzem, that is, we're just pointing out that that's where the concept of the Yom Tov Sheni also comes out. So they would send out they would send out a messenger, and they would tell them when Rosh Chodesh was in order to keep Pesach. Al Av, Ne'atayis, and Av, they would also send them out for the fast. So they would go 8 days till they get there, and now they travel on Shabbos, or whatever 8 days you're able to travel, till to make sure they got there before Tisha B'Av. But El Pnei Rosh Hashanah, El, to know when Rosh Hashanah is, El was almost always was only 29 days. So then people would know when Rosh Hashanah was. They were able to lechor aray on the Rov, and they were justified in relying on the 30th day, seeming that was Rosh Hashanah. Rashi seems to indicate that if that's the case, that you were mamash allowed to keep, they would keep every place that the shluchim would come, they didn't have to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. However, we discussed in the beginning of Beitza that's a big machlokas. The most assume that, not most, the Rif and the Rambam, and that's why we pass it like this, and I'll tell you the Rif, everyone keeps that, no one will keep 1 day, I know that no one keeps 1 day of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael, even in Yerushalayim, because we don't know exactly when Rosh Hashanah is going to be, so that was, even for those who live locally, they would keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and that's why, even Bezman HaZed, those in Eretz Yisrael will have to keep 2 days for Rosh Hashanah. So that's where this comes from. And Al Tishrei Bnei Takanos HaMo'odos, so Tishrei, based on the rest of the Chagim, to know for sure when, we know it was most chance that when Rosh Hashanah is going to be, but we want to make sure. So for Yom Kippur and Sukkot, they want to know the rest of the Chagim, they made sure to get there before. Then Al Kislev Bnei Chanukah, and Kislev because of Chanukah. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, Yotzin Al Af Al Iyar, they would also go on Iyar because Bnei Pesach Katan on Pesach Sheni. Now the Gemara asks, Lippi Nami Atamos V'Tevis. Wait a second, why don't they go for Atamos and Tevis on the fast during those months? The Amar Rav Chana Bar Biznam Rav Shimon Chasida. Might have said the pasuk which says, Ko Amar Shem Tavako is Tzomar Revi V'Tzomar Chamishi V'Tzomar Shvi V'Tzomar Asir Yel. Hashem says the fast of the 4th month, the fast of the 5th month, the fast of the 7th month, the fast of the 10th month is eventually going to be times of simcha. So that's that. Right now they're sad, but then they're going to be eventually happy. That's what the Gemara says. Karlo itself. Right now we're calling them a fast because it's a simcha, but eventually we're going to call them days of joy and happiness. Because when there was peace, most understand this to be the Zman B'Samei Deshaya Kayam, Yula Sasson Simcha, then they're going to be joy and happiness. Ain Shalom, if there's no peace, then the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so they're going to remain fast days. So we see that according to Rav Chama, all of these fast days are going to be enforced nowadays since the Beis HaMikdash is not around. So why did they not send the Shlichim after at least the Chorban Beis HaMikdash for Tammuz and Tevis to notify the people when the fasts are going to be? Again, they were still doing Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Ariya even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even for whatever it was, 100 or 200 years after that. Hillel was much, much later. Then he was the one who was the grandson of Hillel Zaken, but he came later and decided to do it without the Shlichim because of the Tsaros and the persecution of the Jews. So the Gemara says, Amar of Papa, Ha'achika Amar, this is what the Pasuk says, Bizman Shei Shalom, when there is shalom in the Eretz Yisrael, we're actually defined that as when the people who are worshiping over the Zara don't have control over Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So someone explained, the most Rishonim explained that no, Yesh Shalom Lechora means when the Beis HaMikdash is Kayam. So the Sfas Emes Kontani Rashi also is like, he's adding another thing. Even when the Beis HaMikdash is Kayam, you have to make sure that there's no dominion of the foreign nations over Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. For example, he says, like, let's say, in a time when the Greeks took over and ruled the Beis HaMikdash and made us follow there, that would not be called Shalom, because even though the Beis HaMikdash, it was still a terrible time. Yulas Asa Simcha, however, so when there is Shalom, then there are going to be days of happiness. Yesh Kzeres HaMalchus, however, in this time when there's decrees against the Jews, then some men are going to be fast, very fast. However, if there is neither a decree nor a peace, then Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu In Misanim, they're not going to be a full-fledged chiyuv. So that's the shaila of here. The Gemara doesn't mean that every individual is going to choose. Rather, we're going to assume that as a community as a whole, we're going to decide whether it's a fast or not. As l'chora, we follow bizman hazeh, that we're all considered in the time of Ratu Emes and Rezoyan, it's a little bit lower level. However, that's what the Rosh Halvetchik was mechadish. This whole thing, that it was not when it's man b'eis tzara. When it's mamish and eis tzara, then everybody agrees it's a full-fledged chiyuv, in which case the halachas would turn into tisha b'av. That you'd have the same mamish halachas of atzon, that would start by nighttime, that you should have isra ne'ilas sandal, and all the special chumras of tisha b'av should apply by all the dalet tanyos. I believe Rosh Halvetchik held that way when he was in America during World War II, during the Holocaust, that was his opinion. So that's based on Rosalvichik. The Gemara says, Yachi, Ba'av Nami. So going back to the Gemara's question, the Gemara says, if the four fasts are optional, then Tisha B'Av Nami, then a Tisha B'Av also, which is one of the four fasts mentioned in the Pasuk, should also be L'chora at the time when you don't have to send out the agents, the Shlichim. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Shani Tisha B'Av, no, Tisha B'Av was always fasting. Ho V'chbul of Tzaras, because there's many, many Tzaras that happened to us then, Damar Mar, Betisha Bav, Kharav, is a Midash Perishon, which the first and second base of Midash was destroyed. That enough is Uchbul of Osaris. And also, Vanilka Beitar, Beitar was destroyed. Many, many Jews were killed there. Like a million Jews were killed there. Terrible, terrible things. Their blood, that was the Tova Meta. They were eventually able to bury them. But that was a terrible, terrible tragedy. Vanikrasha Ir, and this in Yushalayim was plowed over, and this state, they plowed over the second base of Mikdash and everything over it. So that's a reason that it was really so terrible. So therefore, they would send them out. Yeah, even during the time after the Beis Hamikdash, the Shaila, even during Beis Hamikdash, well, that's the Shaila, but definitely after the Beis Hamikdash, when there was Shalom, it would keep Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says, Tanya, we're learning Brisa, Amar Shimon says, Arba Dvar Mayor B'Kiva Dorish, V'Einan Dorish Kamosu. Rabbi Dorish four things, and I disagree with him. Tzoravi is or Tisha B'Tamas. Shoma Ravi, he called that the ninth of Tamas. Shabo Hukvayir, that day, was breached in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. Never al Chodesh Arvi, but Tisha B'Chodesh V'Ekse Avara Ba'ir, V'Yol Lechem Laretz, B'Tik B'Ha'ir. This pasuk seems to indicate that this was happening in the ninth of the month of Tammuz. Why do they call it the fourth month? Because it was from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and Tammuz. Tammuz is the fourth month, starting from Nisan. That is called the Tisha B'Tevis. Why don't we fast in Tisha B'Tevis? Because we were learning that the Shavasar B'Tammuz of the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and it was surrounded, and we commemorate the second Beis Hamikdash, not necessarily the first. Why don't you fast both? Because we assume it's too difficult. As the Ran says, it's too difficult to fast both. The Yerushalmi says that the whole thing, the pasuk is also the pasuk is keilu rounding up. Really, both of them were Shavasar B'Tamas. The Yerushalmi assumes that they were rounding a little bit off. They were such tsaros and dying by association, they didn't even know what date it was. Okay, interesting Yerushalmi. But by Etzim, we assume that the dates are actually different. Tisha B'Tamas is really the first. That was the first Beis Hamikdash was where the walls were surrounded. And Shivasar B'Tamas is one of the second Beis Hamikdash. We only commemorate second Beis Hamikdash. Now the Gemara continues. Soma Chamishi Zot Tisha B'Av. Soma Chamishi refers to Tisha B'Av. Shabo Nisraf Beis Elokein. That date Hashem destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Chamishi. Why do we call it Chamishi? Chamishi Lachadash on the fifth of the months of Nisan. Soma Shvi'i Zot Shlosha B'Tishrei. That refers to the third of Tishrei. Shabo Nerak Gadol Ben Chikam. Tzom Gedalia. He was assassinated even by a Jew. The Gemara says, "Me about Hargo about to say this. Who killed him? Yishmael ben Nesani or Hargo? Yishmael ben Nesani killed him, and that ended up destroying Klal Yisrael's presence in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban. L'am dechashishkula misasim shaltikim skriv vasbeil kenu. Teaches the death of a righteous person is like the burning of the house of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it's a terrible thing. So we mentioned Tisha B'Av and Tzom Gedalia mentions the Chora. We're comparing them. The fact that they're both terrible tzaros, like the destroying of the Beis Hamikdash, is similar to that of a tzaddik dying. But my Kala Shvi. So why does they call it the seventh month, Shvi'i L'Chadashim, the month because the Tishrei is 7 months from Nisan. Tzoma Asiri Zavasar B'Tevesh, Shabo Samach Melech Bavel Yerushalayim, that's the time where Melech Bavel began to besiege Yerushalayim. Shnim Ravid Var Hashem Eli, sorry, and the 3 weeks, by the way, is the time they breached the walls. Shnim Ravid Var Hashem Elo B'Tishis, B'Chodesh Arshir, B'Shar L'Chodesh Limor, and the 10th of the month, that's the Sar B'Tevesh, B'Nadam Kar L'Chah, Esa Yom Azeh, Etzem Yom Azeh, Samach Melech Bavel Yerushalayim. So he came to Yerushalayim, the King of Bavel came to besiege Yerushalayim. Why is it called 10th month? Asiri lachadashim, because that is the 10th month beginning from Nisan, that's why Tevis is 10 months from Nisan. V'loya ray lazelachtov rishon, so l'chora, that should be, the 10th of Tevis was first chronologically, is the first stage of the destruction, so why don't I mention that first? Gemara says, no, v'lama kas neftav kan, k'day l'sadr lachadashim mez sekuna. They did it, the way the pasuk was meant, arranged, was in the months, in order to properly, arrange them in the calendar order, even though the months of chronologically, or what the order they were in chronologically, was really, obviously, that Asara Batevas was first, because that's the time when they actually came in to start to surround Yerushalayim. V'ani eni omer ken, but I do not say that the last fast was understood that way. Rather, Tzoma Asiri Zichamisha Batevas. Rather, assume that the fast of the 10th is the 5th of Tevas, Shabob Bas Shmug Legola Shuk Sa'ir. That day, people heard that Yerushalayim had been taken over. Shinemra Vibiasar Bashana Shasar, Shana Basir Lachanus, the Galahusin of Bailaya, Palit Mishlaim, Lemor, Huk Sa'ir, that they came, the future decayed through Yerushalayim, and he said that the city had been taken over. They also Yom Shmua Kyom Sreif, and that day they heard about it. That was like the day of the actual burning. People were depressed, and they established that this should be the fast of Tevis. So the Gemara says, so my words seem to be more reasonable than his. The Rabbi Kiva, Shani, my Rishon Rishon, I say the fast listed first, the fast of Tama is a commemorates the first tragedy, historically, the breaching of the walls. And the last fast, the day they heard about it, the fast of Tevis, is commemorating the Jews actually hearing about the Yerushalayim being totally plummeted and taken over. But according to Rabbi Kiva, he's talking about the fast of Tama, which is really the latter one, first. Al-Achron Rishon. Elashu Mordel Seder Chadashim, rather Rabbi Kiva counts the days in order of the months of the calendar years. We just gave that answer. Vani Mosad Pronos, I'm counting them in the order of chronologically when they actually appeared. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva holds that the fast are listed in the order of which the historical events occurred. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon is arguing that Lechora should have been, the deposit should have gone in chronological order. The marketing is now Itmar. Rabbi Chanina Amre, but the Megillah Tainus has been, is no longer applicable. The Megillah Tainus is one of the first Megillahs that was written, as was to write Torah Shabbat Peh. So this was something which is written down. It's considered a Megillah. It's a Megillah because it's something that's us to write down. So there were different things that happened, that things are of Yamim Tovim and things that are tragedies that they would fast for and they'd have Yamim Tovim for. So the Gemara is telling us now that we're Mevatel Megillah Tainus. Rabbi Yochanan mentioned the Melobat Megillah Tainus. He holds the Megillah Tainus was not Mevatel, not canceled out. Rav Rechina Amre Bat Megillah Tainus. Why do I assume it's Mevatel? Achigamar. This is what the Pasuk says. Man Shi Shalom Yilu L'Sasimcha. The days where there our fast days will be for happiness and shalom tzom. When there's no shalom, there should be tzom. So these days, and when there was yomim tovim in the base of Meidash, these days are going to be applicable even after the destruction. So the Megillah Tainus are also going to be treated like these. So therefore, whatever the status of Megillah Tainus is going to be treated as canceled during the destruction of the base of Meidash. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amri lo ba'ad Megillah Tainus. Megillah Tainus has not been canceled. Hane han adlatnu rachmanu b'vinu beis hamikdash. These days are talking about dependent on the building of beis hamikdash. V'hanach because mayu kame the Megillah Tainus exists. They have always existed. They will always continue to exist. We'll pick up Meisiv Rav Kana Bez Hashem in tomorrow's daf. We're a little bit behind, but Bez Hashem we'll pick up on tomorrow's daf. We'll get to a little bit shorter, so we'll be able to pick up and finish hopefully. You test the whole daf through.